Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Let's check back now for an update on the Western fires in Washington State. Three firefighters were killed and four others injured for the first time in nearly a decade. The Defense Department is allowing active duty soldiers to serve as firefighters to confront the 1.1 million burning acres in this one of the worst fire seasons on record. Army Lieutenant Joe Buccino joins us. How do Pentagon assets get deployed to a fire emergency, Colonel?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me. This is a request from the National Interagency Fire Center, which is a agency that operates under the Department of Agriculture. And the request, they submitted a request through multiple levels of command through an operation called the National Multi-Agency Coordinating Group. And they requested that through the Department of Defense. And then the Secretary of Defense approved this mission for 200 active duty Army soldiers.
Where do the assets come from? Are they assembled from National Guard armories, or do you have dedicated firefighting squads somewhere pre-positioned around the country?
No, these are active duty soldiers. So the Army National Guard has been exhausted in these states. Army National Guard assets have been exhausted. So we do not have dedicated firefighters. However, our soldiers, they're obviously the nation's best. They have unique capabilities that can be applied here. So if you think about, you know, combat lifesaver skills, they're trained on medical readiness. They're physically fit. They can live and operate in austere environments. They operate in teams. They can move through all kinds of terrains. All these things that can be applied in combat situations can also be applied in non-combat situations. So where they're coming out of, John, they're coming out of Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington State, and they will be bused to the site. The decision will be made here, we believe, today, which fire. It's kind of been going back and forth, but they will be bused to the fire line. They've been receiving training yesterday in a classroom setting. They'll receive training outside today and draw their protective equipment from the Department of Agriculture. And then they will move to the site. They'll do a little bit more training on site, and then they will operate in 10 teams of 20 soldiers.
I don't want to get too Tom Clancy about all this, but it seems to me that with the capabilities that you have, you can immediately put a special ops team into an active fire and have full communications all around the line there that would coordinate all the firefighting. Plus, you would have visual eyes on the fire itself if you can utilize some of the drones and other capabilities that you would have. I'm not saying those are being used, but the potential is there.
Sure. You know, in terms of the way these things manifest themselves, there's the Department of Agriculture, there's the Forest Service, there's the state, there are state assets, so, and then the federal government gets involved. So we are a supporting element to the fire event coordinator on each site. There are multiple chains of command. So in terms of the Army or the Department of Defense taking command and full operation over a fire, over a fire event, that's not really feasible. You know, it has to go through multiple chains of command, and the right folks are in place to train our soldiers and to put our soldiers basically in the right positions once they're on the fire line or on a cold line.
So they'll be doing the hard work of firefighting, even though as those capabilities, as I've described, they might be very, very useful. That would be, you know, something for possibly a future situation. Is there any discussion, and I may be pushing you out into no man's land here, but is there any discussion that this is going to be more and more of a responsibility of the Pentagon as we get into, you know, a more persistent drought in the West and South?
Don't know, John, you know, what this will look like. This mission is set for a 30-day period beginning when the soldiers move, which looks like it's going to be tomorrow. And then at the end of 30 days, a decision has to be rendered. So they can either, you know, continue the mission, they can either be moved back and to Joint Base Lewis-McChord, or a request could be made for additional assets. So this is certainly been developing rapidly, and, you know, fortunately, we're able to respond pretty rapidly.
And, you know, there was no there was no schedule for the Ebola mission last year, that's for sure. Lieutenant Colonel Joe Bacino, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, John.
Lieutenant Colonel Joe Bacino spoke to us from Washington, D.C. He's a spokesman for the U.S. Army.